Going to go in a few other directions, and I want to try not to rush this or hurry it, but I have a wedding at 1 o'clock that I have to bail out of here and be there on time, and so I've got to get changed. I have to wear a suit at this wedding, so Pat wanted me to wear it, and I said, I am not going there. I did pants and boots, but Keith, some of you who have been here for 40 years, does anybody remember Keith Schwartz and Louise? Yes. Keith and Louise? He was one of the most spirit-filled, elderly, Methodist, God-fearing, believing men that I have ever met in my life. And he'd come to church every Sunday in a suit and tie. And he walked up just as I was doing this, and he just stood and looked at me and said, if I bought you a suit, would you wear it to church? I said, no, I wear jeans and a Hawaiian shirt. Then he said, how about if I buy you a robe to cover that up? Would you wear that? So a wedding, no robe, no suit, but God's word and his blood covers me in the best attire we can be in. So again, I'm on a time frame, and I don't want to rush it or have this missed, but in Philemon, we have seen many different instructions coming from the Apostle Paul that I would just ask each of us. It's 25 short verses, and throughout the week, just continue to read the whole thing and see the implications, if you would, that are in there. And we saw that it's a book of forgiveness. And we know that as we read it, Philemon is being asked by Paul to forgive his runaway slave, Onesimus. So the basis of it is forgiveness. And that's where I want to go today, on forgiveness. And not, it's something I feel that is lacking, not in some, but probably in one way or another in every one of us. It's something that's needed beyond anything that we feel we need in this life. And the next one is God's forgiveness. And I just started thinking this way. Anybody ever get on like information overload? It's too much. Too much stuff coming in. And then depending on what you listen to or what you read, you watch or you read one article, and it's like, oh my gosh. And then you read another one, and it's different. Same thing, but a little twist. Then you read, and putting this into where we are today, vaccine, no vaccine, mask, no mask, mandates coming up again, no mandates coming up. I mean, it seems like everybody is telling a lie, or one side is lying. I don't know who it is. But I started thinking this last week, Lord, you know, what's truth? What's the lie that we all should be focusing on in this time? Not down the road. I mean, our time is today. That's what we have right now. And I just kept feeling, Lord, oh, I don't know what to believe anymore. I mean, a gasoline tax is coming. How's that one? It's not bad enough. We're paying $4, right? But they're going to put a vehicle tax on us for mileage, a vehicle mileage tax that you'll be getting besides the gas tax. And I'm getting, is this political? No. It's just the guy who introduced it said, oh, no, that's not coming. Well, somebody finally read the 2,000-page infrastructure, and there it is, a vehicle tax. It's already in two states, on its way to you real soon and me. Who's telling the truth? And I sat there, and I zoned for a while, and I felt God telling me, you know what truth is. I'm the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So with that, I want us to turn to Numbers, if you would. Numbers 23. Numbers 23. Again, the truth lies. What we're needing to see in order to be obedient in this area of forgiveness. It's not a good suggestion. As we said last week, forgiveness is a command. It's a mandate from God. And I look at that, and I mean, even myself, I'm an old rebel. But Walk into Home Depot over the last 8 months. Oh, forgot my mask. I run back, get my mask so I can go into Home Depot. It's a mandate, right? Wear it. God's got some mandates, doesn't he? Forgive. Forgive, he says, or I can't forgive you. I have to put you on this hold in our immediate fellowship day by day until you understand how critical this is. So again, it's truth versus lies. What can we believe in the things that we see and we hear? Well, here's the first one he led me to in verse 19 of Numbers 23. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? That's something we have to, each of us, hear it, check it out, and try to talk, think with our own heart, our own feelings, the things that are driving us into every direction except to God these days. Is that true? Is that true? Does God lie? I have to say no. And we're going to weave that into some of his commands to us, especially forgiveness, that we better take special attention. When the Lord our God says that there is no other name under heaven by which a man must be saved or a woman, is that, oh no, there's lots of ways to God. I believe there are lots of ways to God. But when you and I, and some have heard it, when we stand before the throne and give an answer, each and every one of us, for the things that we've done, where will that road to God lead after that? Will it lead into eternal life with our Savior? Or will it lead to eternal separation without him? Start turning back. Let's go to Titus. We were just finished that. And Titus, again, this is a repeat, but anybody, Susan, you're a teacher. What's the best way of teaching? Repetition, isn't it? If we hear these things, maybe somewhere in the week we might think about it and really try to understand it. So in Titus 1:2, well, first he starts, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope, verse 2, of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but has in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. God cannot lie. Some of us might think, oh, you know, that's we know that. That's simple. I know that. But then why is it when he says something and we read it and we know it and we're responsible, we try to customize it a little bit? Or we think, well, maybe that could be a truth. Maybe we're in a time frame, I feel right now, that the only way that we're going to get through all of this is Jesus Christ, his forgiveness, his truth. Check everything out that we see and hear. We don't know who's lying, but I know who's telling the truth. And I pray after today that we all will know who's telling the truth. In John 16:13, I think it's 13, says that the Holy Spirit is what? The Spirit of truth. He doesn't lie either. His job is to tell us about God, tell us about Jesus Christ, tell us about judgment that's coming, telling us what our lives are supposed to manifest. The Spirit of truth. And if we are saved, the Spirit of truth lives within each and every one of us. Forgiveness is mandatory. Forgiveness with the Holy Spirit in me or in you. It's not something that I cannot forgive. I don't know if I can ever do that. God is saying, I need you to forgive, period. I don't want that time of fellowship to be broken with my Lord. Do we even understand how much he has daily for each and every one of us? And where I wanted to weave forgiveness in again is in Philemon. You can turn there now, but look at those Numbers 23:19, Titus 1:2. I think in Hebrews 6:18, it also talks about God not being there. He doesn't lie. He's not a He's not somebody that we can't trust. But he says something about forgiveness beyond ours to each other that I think is critical for maybe one or two or more people that are here today fellowshipping. Maybe somebody that you know that you've been friends, family, acquaintances, people who might be watching on the whatever that Google pad is. What do we do this on now? Streaming? Are we streaming? Phew, man. People, God's forgiveness to you and to me is the most important subject that we can think of today and tomorrow until we understand what is that truth about God's forgiveness. So in Philemon, we saw in verses 17, and if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. He's asking Philemon to forgive Onesimus for being a runaway slave. And this is, you know, there's so much in here. Well, forgiveness is in here, not only ours to each other, but God's to mankind. We've got runaway slaves. Every one of us are a runaway slave in one sense of the word or another. The things that we don't do for our master. We have prayer in here. Paul says, I mention you every time. I thank God for you every time in my prayers. So we have prayer. This is something that we should be doing. We've got the intercessory prayer or standing in the gap like Paul is doing right now for Onesimus, to Philemon. Do we agonize? Do we do what God is asking us in those prayers as we stand in the gap for each another? Well, if we don't, then the reason of that is probably unforgiveness or not receiving the forgiveness of God ourselves. Bringing home the prodigals. Remember, you know, these were topics I wanted to try to bring out of Philemon without stretching it too far. But how will we ever bring home the prodigals if we ourselves, number one, have not received God's forgiveness? Because forgiveness then goes on a whole different moral basis, doesn't it? Oh, people that don't know the Lord, that aren't in Christ, they forgive, but it doesn't do any good eternally. And what I want to focus on this morning was that forgiveness that God is offering. That's the most important thing. That's what's going to last eternally. Forgiveness. So I started thinking about, you know, and it's not just, as I've said already, our forgiveness to one another. That's commanded. It's God's forgiveness to us and our forgiveness to God for where we've been, for what we've disobeyed, for what the individual who isn't in Christ says no to. Oh, I've tried that. Oh, I heard that. I think it's just a figment of Christians' imagination. And I want to have us hear what God says about his forgiveness today. Martin Luther called it the great exchange, what we're going to step into right now. So it's forgiveness. But I don't think we think often enough during the course of the day how much God forgave Doug Gibney. I don't think during the course of the day how much did it cost God to send his son that I might have this imputed righteousness that we're going to talk about due to his forgiveness. Do I think about that? And I think that's one of the hindrances to our unforgiveness at times, or just maybe lessening the cost of our salvation. In verse 18, Paul made a statement, if he has wronged thee or owes thee aught, put that on mine account. That's imputation is what that's called. And that's what I want to look at today. The great exchange. What's the definition of imputation in verse 18? It's an infused and imparted righteousness of Christ committed to the one who is in Christ by accepting the atonement. A lot of words. But what's imputed righteousness? And there is a double imputation. God has already forgiven us and given us this choice to say yes to that forgiveness and live eternally. That's one way. But now it has to come from the individual back to God. And that's double imputation. Too many people think, well, I'm a Protestant, a Presbyterian, Methodist, a Baptist, a Catholic. We think all of that will get us into that favor. And God says, that's not what it's about. Have we received his forgiveness? Have we understood that my entrance into heaven is not dependent upon me? It's on everything he is and everything he has done. Too many of us think one minute we lose our salvation, the next we're not. Oh, how can God forgive me of that? God has forgiven us. Now it's time for us to walk in that. And I'm speaking expressly to the one who hasn't made a heart commitment to Jesus Christ yet. That is the most important decision you'll make today. It's not your mom or your dad's faith. It's not what church we went to. It's not how many scriptures we remember. We are not saved by works, remember? We are saved by grace through faith, and that is a gift of God. So the only thing I can do is say yes to God for that unspeakable gift of his son Jesus to forgive me of my sins. Turn Isaiah 53. We've all read it, right? But again, I want us to hear it, and especially if that person is looking in right now, that you know you're not saved. You know you haven't a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're kind of on your own. Oh, I believe. I know God. Is Christ dwelling in us through his forgiveness? So in Isaiah 53, when I said, I need to think about what God did for Doug Gibney, the person that I was just, let's not add all of the bad things we've done. I was dead. Every one of us were on our way to death before Christ's forgiveness came into our hearts. So I want to think about what is it that he did for me? We can talk about anybody else, but what is it that he did for me? And if you're not a believer, Christ did this for you. It says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He loved us that much. Forgiveness, love, mercy, grace, it's just all part of what we need to think about every day. Because he who loves much, is forgiven much, loves much. And he who is forgiven little, wasn't a bad person, says loves little. Do we love enough? Do we understand the forgiveness enough to receive Christ into our lives? In the human mind, it's foolishness, isn't it? That who I am, how I think, what I do, I don't know if I'm going to get into heaven. Christ did it. God looks at you and he sees his son forgiven, righteous, justified. That's something I think he wants me to think of every day, because if not, this atonement is lessened by my life. Isaiah 53, who has believed our report? Who has believed your report? Who has believed that if you're watching today and you still haven't received Christ? There's a lot of people who haven't believed the report of God's forgiveness of our sins. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form, no comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He didn't come with pomp and circumstance. He didn't come with him. He just came as a man. God in man just came to show us what forgiveness really is. That's what this whole book, I started thinking, this is what it's about. God's love for us and his forgiveness for who we were and all the things we've ever done. And he sent his son to pay that price. There's nothing about him that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected, verse 3, of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. I've got my name written in there. Surely he has borne Doug's griefs. I don't know how I'd carry some of the grief. And I know you got some, and you got some, and there's different degrees of it, but how would you carry this on a daily basis? How do you, whoever it might be, if they're listening or somebody you know, how do you carry your sorrows and your griefs without Jesus Christ and knowing that it's going to be okay? I'm going to heaven. This is temporary. Everybody wants to go to heaven. I heard you say that to Diane the other day. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but not now, right? A couple more, 20 years would be nice. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but we don't want to die. And we all want to go to heaven, but we want to go our way. And God's saying, no, I've made the way. I am the way. Remember the truth. And for that life, we need to hear these things. Surely, he has borne Doug's grief, carried Doug's sorrows. Yet Doug did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded, or that word is tormented, for our transgressions, my sin. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. With all those bruises, he has given us a way into eternal life. And that's a simple believing on Jesus Christ, who he is, what he says as being the truth that should guide our lives today. All we like sheep have gone astray. The word of God says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if I have that time, Mom, I'm going to try to end it with that. I'll say it once, maybe twice at the end. Where are your sins right now? We are all like sheep that have gone astray, and we've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. That's imputation, double imputation. You're righteous once you're in Christ. Stop sweating, in a sense. Oh, it's a walk that is going to be daily tested. But our eternal destination, our eternal security is set because of what Jesus did. If you're not in Christ, where are your sins right now? Where are they? They're either on Jesus Christ, who paid that price on the cross, or they're on me. What does that mean for my eternal destiny? These are things that we need to be thinking about. Some people are more worried about the gas prices or the food increase or what's going to come down the pike from whatever political backings we have. We're more worried about that than our eternal future, which, again, I've said it and I'll say it, we've got more ahead of us in Christ than we have behind us, whatever our age might be. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth, because the sin that he was paying for was Doug Gibney's. Period. That's how much he loved us. That's how much he loves each and every one of us. He didn't say a word like we make excuses or, oh, that wasn't me. That was Doc Mike. I didn't do that. Oh, no. Yeah. He didn't open his mouth because he knew he had to pay that price that you and I could not pay. And that's forgiveness that goes beyond this forgiveness to each other. We need that forgiveness from God to each and every one of us that we might walk in some of these things. So he's giving you an offer. Isaiah 18, 11:45. She wanted my phone so she could shut me down and drag me out. Isaiah 1. It's too good to be true. 1:18. But don't go to 18:1. That's a whole different one. I'm hurrying, as you can tell. 1:18. What's truth? Here's an offer being made to each and every one of us today. Besides the offer that we all know, John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe on him, not be perfect, not do everything right. Whoever would believe on him would not perish or die, but have everlasting life. We're all going to go out of here. Some sooner than others, we're all going. Where are you going? Where's your sin? And what the Lord is asking each and every one of us is to hear this. He says in 18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, and I like that, and I can't keep it. Scarlet was a dye that was made from a worm. Do you think God had something in mind when he was writing this through the pens of Isaiah by the Holy Spirit. Red dye made from a worm. Although your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Not Doug Gibney, not non-denominational doctrine, theology. It's the word of the Lord who can't lie. And when he says that, I don't care where you've been, I don't care what you've done, I can take those sins and wash them as white as snow. And what he's referring to is the white robe of righteousness, God's righteousness imputed, given to me, infused by his Spirit as if I had never done any of it. How many of us are plagued by our past? I came out of here crying, if you know, because there was a man standing there. How long have we known Johnny? 55 years maybe. And he just walked through the door. And flooded. I got flooded knowing this. And God was showing me, look where you were back in that day. And I'll make you as white as snow. He's offering that to anybody. Will you receive it? So Paul was pleading with Philemon to forgive and receive Onesimus, this runaway slave. And I felt this week that through this little epistle, God was pleading through his word and through his truth for the individual who hasn't received Christ to receive him. It's like I said, it's not your what you grew up in. It's none of that. There's nothing wrong with any of that. My mother-in-law is, she was a staunch Roman Catholic, but Christ was in her. She received that atonement. She looked at it as truth. She's in it. So it doesn't matter who you were. It's who are you? Are you in Christ or are you out? So I feel God is pleading with whoever it is today. Receive my forgiveness. Don't put it off. We don't know how much longer any of us have. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What am I thinking about? Check that out this week. See where your mind goes this week. Musing and gooning out is okay. I think about, what do I think about? A new ATV or something. But I think we need to stop and consider God and his forgiveness. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, what does it mean if I've got God's forgiveness? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. That's the forgiveness we're talking about. That is the imputation. And he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Individual. This is what the church today should be talking about every single day. I'm not saying knocking on the door, but every opportunity. This is my ministry. I don't have a ministry. Yes, we do. This wasn't just given to Paul and the apostles or the disciples. If we read John 17, it says, as I have sent them into the world, meaning these guys, so I'm sending you. Just like you, Father, sent me into the world, I'm sending them in there to preach forgiveness. To preach the good news of the gospel. The church today is getting nothing more than political, and we're getting sides, and we're judging this and judging that. That could be a bold lie right from the pit of hell. This is what the church of Christ needs to be doing today. Preaching God's forgiveness to no matter who the individual was. Onesimus is a runaway slave. He stole stuff. Anybody ever steal anything in their life? That wasn't yours, you're a runaway slave then. You need forgiveness. And God is offering it. And you and I as the church Instead of putting all political garbage out of our mouth and putting it on the internet and everything else, we ought to just be preaching, God wants you now. Like, remember, Uncle Sam, when he was pointing, God wants you. Even though you might have been thrown away by the world or whoever, God's not throwing any of us away. He's going to redeem us. He's going to renew us. He's going to rebuild all the waste. And that's what we as the church need to be. Make sure that's our battle cry, God and his forgiveness. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Forgiveness. Again, that's what we need to be doing. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Speaking to us here, I'm speaking to somebody who's not saved watching this today. Why are you watching it? Receive God's forgiveness. There's going to come a time when he won't strive with man anymore. The time is too late. Well, I'll get married. I'll have children. I'll buy this house. I'll get this new job. Didn't we have a story about that in the Bible? Follow me. Oh, I just bought some property. Oh, I just got married. Oh, I just bought a new donkey. What? God is saying now, today is the day at least to think about what Christ did for forgiveness. And now is the time of our salvation. Now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. And if you haven't believed in your 10 years to 80 years, now is the time. It's much, much closer. I would not be ashamed to say that I personally believe that everything we see around us right now, the Lord is on his way back for his church. How much further can it go? I think a little bit. But I feel the Lord is coming back to make his promises, yea and amen. Reconciliation, forgiveness, for he has made. And here's that imputation. Remember, we were on verse 18, and it's an imputed righteousness. It's nothing that you have or will do. It's nothing that we can do. It's Jesus Christ covering us in that robe of white. God sees that, for he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Penalty done away. Destruction in our lives done away. Simply by saying, yes, Lord, I believe that Jesus is your son. Yes, I believe that you raised him from the dead. Yes, I believe that he's coming again for me. All my sins are forgiven. That's all he's asking. See, I can ask you for forgiveness and you can kind of, oh yeah, sure. You got it, but do I really have it? We can lie to one another, but God, as we just saw, is not a man that he can lie. And when we say, God, please forgive me, instantly, if your heart means that, he is right there, forgiving, imputing righteousness to each and every one of us, placing his Holy Spirit into our... I wouldn't have believed this back in my days of whatever I did that I'm not going to let you know. The Holy Spirit is living in me? Yes, he is. And he's the Spirit of truth. And God cannot lie. And he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Never. No matter what we do. Because I love you like I love my son. So we see that forgiving is a commandment that we should obey one to another, but receiving God's forgiveness for eternity is our choice. It's our choice. He doesn't pull anybody like your father or mother did, taking you to church with your ear twisted and telling you to sit down and be quiet and don't move. God gives you a choice. I've put before you today life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. And I've done this before. I got great grandchildren. And I say, Poppy's got a surprise. Which hand's it in? It's not a hard decision. God's saying, I'm telling you today, I put life and death before you. Without my forgiveness, there's eternal separation which would be worse than death. It would be nice if we just died maybe and no thoughts, no nothing. But eternity separated from the one that we love in a place that is the most outermost darkness that can be perceived by man. We still don't understand the depth of that. He's saying, I want to forgive you. Today's your day. You choose that. This will be 11:56. Am I doing okay? Okay. Romans 4:7. I'm going to leave out four or five of them. Just to... Romans 4. I was only late to one wedding by 45 minutes. Remember that? We got so lost. I kept driving around. We were doing like 80 miles an hour down these country roads, so lost. And when I got in, I mean, they were ready to go to the reception already. It was like, where have you been? And they didn't have any cell service. So I'm rushing to get to this wedding so I don't do that again. Romans 4, verse 7. Remember I said before, where are your sins? An honest question, something we should think about. Where are your sins? Are they just in the, oh, they're in my past. You know, I'm pretty good. Your sins are either still on us who have committed those iniquities, or they're on Jesus Christ. Saying blessed, or that word I think, Pete, in the Greek is happy, isn't it? I mean, this isn't a drudge, being a Christian. Trusting God and following him isn't something that, you know, should be a burden. We should, I mean, Craig and I, we have this, if I try to picture Christ, I need to picture him there, but see, he's still not on the cross. He's off of the cross. We don't leave him on there, and I see him with his head back and his arms out and the biggest smile that could ever be on a face. Blessed, happy are they whose iniquities or sins are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That's forgiveness. That's just a little part of what Paul was trying to show Philemon. He could speak some of those things because Paul himself was forgiven by the Lord. He was a murderer. He went into Christian homes, ransacked them, drug people out of there, stoned them, held the coats of Stephen when he was being stoned. And Paul was forgiven. And I think he was forgiven because he understood, I need God's forgiveness. I'm a new creature now. I can forgive others. I don't have to be controlled by anger and bitterness and all of these old memories. I can be free. Father God, help us. Help us to see the importance of that imputed righteousness, that forgiveness that comes from you to us, Father. Help that one heart that might hear these words today say, yes, Lord, that's me. Yes, Lord, please forgive me of my sins. And Father God, we just love you for your patience, your abounding grace, your abundant mercy, and the love that we've only yet to begin to understand. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Gotta go. See ya. What kind of dessert do we have today?